This call may be recorded. Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hey.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Terrible.
Why's that?
Because I'm desperate to save our family, and that's not going to work. And because my mom called everybody under the sun to tell them that I might be dead.
Okay. Did you talk to your mom today?
No.
Okay. Well, can you see what you did to cause your mom to do that?
Yes. Did you see the text I sent her?
Yes. Unfortunately, Janie texted her too, which means from now until forever.
Why did she do that?
It was my mom's fault. I called Janie, and I don't think Janie was going to do anything, but then my mom, who had texted me to say that she was going to text your mom to tell her that you were okay because she wasn't feeling right about not, you know, doing that. And she was thinking about how she feels when she's worried about Jeremy and can't get in touch with him. And was concerned that there's a chance that you and I will reconcile someday and then things, she'll feel awkward about her relationship with your mom. And so anyways, I called her and I told her it was definitely not okay for her to do that that was your place. And I told her that the guilt and things that she was feeling were by your mother's design, and that your mother knows that other mothers will feel for her if she says that she's worried about you. And I told mom that she needed help processing the guilt that was being put on her, that there were people who could help her process that, and she could certainly get counsel to help her process that, you know, that Christine's making her feel guilty about things that aren't really hers to feel guilty about. But I did mention that she could talk to Robbie, because Robbie kind of understands some of those boundary-type dynamics pretty well. And she said, no, I'm okay. And I promise I won't call. Get off the phone. She talks to Dad about a long time. Dad thinks that not. She talked to my dad. My mom talked to my dad, and you know, Dad obviously thought that what she was saying made sense. That it's not okay to just not respond. And if somebody thinks that somebody's committed suicide, and they reached out to you to try to find out if that person's okay. And you know that person's okay. It's really not right to just leave them worrying, just to make a point. And so Mom decided that the best thing to do would be for her to call Janie, because I guess Janie would have a better idea of what she should do, or could help her process why she didn't need to call your mom. So of course she gets Janie all whipped up, talking about this isn't my nature and I just am having trouble with this and it's not my nature and I just wish. And so your mom thought, or Janie just thought, well, this is wreaking way too much havoc. She's bothering Aaron, she's bothering Jane, she's bothering Matt, and Christine was asking for their phone number, asking me for the McDonald's phone number. And she thought, I'm just gonna send her one message so that it's done. And in my message, I'm going to include that she doesn't need to worry about checking up on Dustin every day, because we live with him, and when we go to bed at night, we always have some idea of where he is. He's in a family unit, and that's the appropriate people to, I don't know how she worded it exactly. But essentially that, you know, that you're always safe and there are people who always know where you are, and that going forward it would be fine for you to just plan on checking in with her.
That's not even true.
Well,
he doesn't
need to have that work,
and she doesn't actually do that, and she doesn't need to feel responsible for that.
But does somebody in Maryland need to?
No, nobody needs to.
That was Janie's point. Janie's point was that your mom doesn't need to be the person who's day to day checking to make sure you're alive. So anyway, she said, you know, we always have an idea of where Dustin is, and he's fine, and he can check in with you once a week. And so, of course, your mom responded with, oh, this is all very strange. I don't understand this once a week. Dustin and I have always had a very close relationship, and we've always talked on the phone at least every couple of days. I don't know where this is coming from. Are you telling me that you have actually seen him with your own eyes? Have you talked to him this morning? And Janie just said, yes. And then I think your mom sent another message saying, well, this is just very strange. I don't understand any of this. So the problem is that now, no matter how well you set a communication boundary with your mom for the rest of your life, even 10 years from now or 20 years from now, it's always going to either be attributed to me interfering with your relationship with your mom, or it's going to be interpreted that it was Janie who interfered with your relationship with your mom. Which is, you know, like how it always was when you set boundaries with your mom without receiving gifts from her. Like, she's always going to assume that you never would have done that on your own and that your wife poisoned you to not accept gifts from her. However, what's important for you in this whole journey that you're on with Men of Peace and all of that is for you to fully understand what you did to cause this for everybody today. And to fully think about what behaviors you've done relative to your phone calls with your mom over the last couple of months that made it not okay for you to just decide last night that because you were with me, you were going to showboat for me and try to impress me with how you didn't answer her calls, when that's not something that you've been doing. It caused a lot of strife for a lot of people.
Sorry.
My toilet runs or turns on all the time now. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I forgot to fix it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want you to kind of understand what this does for me, that I allowed you to come in and do something to the dishwasher, which had been functioning just fine, but then I'm left with a dishwasher that doesn't function just fine. And then I had you do something to the toilet, which wasn't doing this before, and now I need somebody to come and fix the toilet. And so I need you to understand that based on
your toilet.
Huh?
I just offered to come fix your toilet.
I know, but based on, like, the totality of all the ways that you've deceived me in the past, it's reasonable for me to be here and hear the toilet go on and to think, gosh, did Dustin make it like that on purpose so that I would have to invite him back, even if I'm not comfortable inviting him back? Like, that doesn't mean that I have trust issues. That means that
I've never done anything remotely like that.
Well, so you're imagining that that doesn't make sense for me to be concerned about that? You're not in any way comprehending how your aggression and your deception and your sins against me and your misprioritization has actual lasting effects on a relationship.
I'm sorry that you're nervous about that, and I...
No, you don't need to be sorry for how I feel.
Fix it for you, and then...
I know, but what I'm nervous about is not something to regret. What I'm nervous about is a good and healthy way for me to respond to somebody serially transgressing against me in the ways you have. So we don't need to mourn that I don't trust you. We need to rejoice that I'm capable of recognizing unsafe relationships for me. And you need to understand that there's not something wrong with me for that. You need to understand that when you tell me that you have no idea where our honeymoon video is and you haven't seen it in years and you didn't even remember packing it or unpacking it when we moved, yet you placed it strategically on the top shelf of a cabinet that you just recently installed, it's not bad for me to question what knowledge you had of it when you were telling me that you had zero knowledge of it. Because that's a good question mark for me to keep as a question mark. Because you have deceived me so many times. Because it's good for me to understand that you are not actually a trustworthy person. If I have anything wrong with my trust, obviously the problem has been that I shouldn't have continued to trust you after the first time that you lied to me. Because you were showing me your character. You were showing me what kind of man you really are. You were showing me how much your integrity means to you. And you were showing me what lengths and what depths you were willing to go to deceive me about your sin problems. In terms of me as a person, I'm too trusting. So I don't appreciate you telling me repeatedly that because you love me so much, you're legitimately scared that if I was in a relationship with a good man, it would be a disaster full of conflict because there's something wrong with my brain that makes me say people are lying when they're not lying. You need to recognize that when that happens, when I say you're lying and you're not lying, it's not because there's something wrong with me. It's because there's something right with me. And that's how somebody should respond when they've been betrayed. And it's possible that you on your end, 100% your end and 0% my end, that you have irreparably broken trust. And you need to recognize that we serve a good and a wise God who gives us guidelines for how to live our lives so that we can have peace and so that we can know Him and so that we can have energy to serve Him. And if He does allow for divorce when there's chronic adultery, it could be because it's not actually possible to continue to have a one flesh relationship with somebody who transgresses against you in a way that makes true vulnerability and intimacy and trust impossible going forward. And obviously, if this is not something that's happened because you looked at pornography one time, and obviously this is not something that happened because you had one love affair with another woman, it's because I tried and 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 tried on my end to rebuild a trusting relationship with you, and at every turn you've shown that you just don't get it, and at every turn you've blamed other people for the effects of your sin. You've pointed at how people respond to being sinned against by you and acted like they, on their own, just committed some act of aggression against you. Like, I did this horrible thing by telling people what you've done, or I did this horrible thing by choosing to say that you lie, or I did this horrible thing by filing for divorce, or I did this horrible thing for putting our kids in a public school. You don't own any of my responsible reactions to your behavior as being caused by you. So you're not a trustworthy person. And I think it would be okay for you to look at our relationship and say, I have broken this. My wife does not have any obligation to me. She is freed from this covenant because I broke this covenant. And I think that you would be able to experience a lot more self-worth if you were focusing your energies and your attention on things that were going to be healthy for me and healthy for our kids. And I think that it would be possible for people to see you engage in that in a good way. And I think you could be successful at it.
What did you just say?
I think that it would be good for you emotionally. It would be good for you. Like, it'd be good for your self-worth. It would be good for your relationship with Christ. It would be good for your, like, ability to look toward the future with optimism. If you were not focusing on all your energy and your attention on saving our marriage, when saving our marriage is not in and of itself an honorable goal in the situation you're in. Like, if you could grasp the enormity of the damage that you've done, then the very first response you would come to is that your wife deserves to be free from that. And the very first conclusion that you would come to is that it's not good for her to have an expectation that she continue to be vulnerable to somebody who it would not be good for her soul or for her spirit or for her intuition or for her being or for her emotions to ignore what has actually happened to her and trust someone should not trust logically. Like, if you could recognize that the thing that you're trying to push to have happen for me would not be a good thing for me, then I think that you wouldn't be feeling like you're experiencing failure, and you wouldn't be feeling like you are worthless or you can't do anything, because you would recognize that you were put on this earth for more than just forcing a woman to stay submitted to you at all costs.
Force you to do anything.
I know, but I'm saying, you say you have only one role on this earth. Like, you had a bad day today because you weren't successful. succeeding and you weren't seeing a path to succeed in restoring our marriage. Therefore, you're a failure. And so if you have some other goals in life, some goals that would actually be a good thing if they came about, like some goals that you could actually be successful at, some goals that would allow you to show the fruits of the Spirit, and some goals that would allow your wife and your children to finally have some peace, I think that you could experience positive benefits from that. Like, that is not a whole goal.
You're just trying to convince me that we should get divorced, and that's not going to work.
I'm saying I don't agree with that.
I'm not saying that it is up to me. I'm not saying that it's up to me. That's got nothing to do. You're not a puppet. I can't control you.
I'm still not saying that. But I'm saying that I'm concerned about your emotional well-being. I'm concerned about what
it
does.
You can't control me either.
I'm not trying to control you. I'm telling you that I love you and I care about your emotional well-being. It's extremely important to me. And I see you hurting, and I hurt for you because I don't want you to be in pain. And I want for you to have optimism. I want for you to realize your potential. I want you to know who you are in Christ. I want you to be able to see that you're loving me well and that I'm benefiting from that love. I gotta go. Bye.